It's 5 o'clock Wednesday. Welcome to Joyful Echo with Jean and Kathleen on Carolina Catholic Radio Charlotte, where we gather together as sisters in friendship to echo God's love. Now here are your hosts, Jean and Kathleen.
Hello, ladies. This is Kathleen.
Hey, ladies. This is Jean. Welcome to Joyful Echo. We are so happy to be here with you all, and we are hoping you are enjoying our intentional echoes.
Yes, yes. Each day. Jean, I do find that there are times, because I don't know about everybody else, but there are times when whatever that Lenten sacrifice is pinches a little bit more in a certain moment than, you know, the rest of the day or whatever. And it helps for me to have that focus to say, okay, this is the intention for today. So I want to stay strong because whatever that, you know, intention might be.
Yeah.
I find it helpful.
And it's funny. Yes, it is helpful. And last night, boy, your intention that you had for yesterday was a butt kicker for me.
No.
Oh my gosh, was it a horrible, not horrible, but it was a hard night last night. But it is right. You have an intention. You're like, okay, this is good. This is good. And I kind of like that. I like to listen to your intentions. I'm like, oh, that's a good one. I can do that.
Right. Yeah.
Somebody else's thing.
For you.
Yeah. It's good. It's good.
Yes. And so that's, you know, that's part of what ties us to Lent, as that we're sharing this journey with you all through Lent for the third time. This is our third Lent on the air. And another thing that really marks the time of Lent in our church is that we have individuals whom the Lord has called into the church or into his family for catechumens who are not baptized. This is that time. And today we have someone who is joining us in the studio. This is not even a call-in. This is someone who's right here in the studio, a friend of ours, who is coming into the church, God willing, at the Easter Vigil. So, Jean, you want to introduce her to our friends?
Yes. Ladies, this is Joni. Joni Pittman has been part of Mary's Women of Joy for 5 or 6 years now. And she came to learn about Mary from another denomination because her former denomination did not really speak much of Mary, and she wanted to learn more about Mary. And she's been Mary's Woman of Joy now for quite some time, and she is coming into the Catholic Church. Well, she already is Catholic because I'm her godmother, and she was baptized like about a month ago. But she's coming into the fullness of the Catholic Church this Easter and into the summer, receiving the sacraments.
So welcome, Joni.
It's Pentecost.
It'll be at Pentecost for you.
Yes, because I'm a candidate instead of a
catechumen.
Yes.
She got promoted.
I did.
So a catechumen is someone who is not baptized at all. And so for the catechumens, then it's the Easter Vigil at St. Mark. Okay. And then for candidates, and that's the term, if you've been baptized but you're coming into full communion with the church, then that's your time. We'll be at Pentecost. A little longer to wait, Joni. I'm sorry.
I know.
And some of you might have seen Joni on our Facebook page because we put pictures and we posted pictures of Joni and Kathleen and I on the Facebook page.
That's
and I think it was during Advent.
On the baptism day.
It was during Advent because we were doing a little something every day, and I don't even remember what it was during Advent.
We were walking that journey with you all.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, so Joni, you just passed a milestone in terms of coming into the church. So for our listeners who were baptized, you know, as infants and are maybe not as familiar with the process that we call the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults, RCIA, what was this special experience that you had this weekend?
It was the rite of election, and I was just blown away with how many candidates and catechisms came. It was 1,500 people. And there were two other ones that went, I think, last weekend and the next weekend. And I don't know how many is it total, but I was just like, wow. I'm not alone in this journey.
Oh, no. The body of Christ enormous. That's fantastic.
So I took it that it was that the church is saying that I am ready to become Catholic. And that I've done, I guess, the requirements. I'm not too sure.
I want to ask you a question. So you started this journey a little bit ago. And can you tell us a little bit about this journey that you've been on?
I feel like God has been calling me. I walked the Camino to see if I was supposed to be Catholic. 600 miles, and the answer was no. Shocker. I continued to pursue God and continued to come to church. A year ago, I started going to adoration and didn't quite understand adoration. I'm taking a lot of people's words that Jesus is there and the host. And I would go in and I'd be like, God, this is just like a regular little room. Really sweet, really nice, very quiet. And I would just talk to God. And I'd be like, I don't really get it all. And the more that I went, I go several times a week. I just feel like I'm drawing closer. And I started coming to RCIA. Mm-hmm. About 3 months after I'd started going to adoration on a regular basis and just being willing to hear. And
when you say willing to hear, can you explain that a little bit more? And for our sweet sisters who are not Catholic, adoration is when the Eucharist, which we as Catholics believe that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And adoration is a special, like you described it, a room. It's a chapel where the Holy Eucharist is in a stand called a monstrance where you can come in and sit and be with Jesus and pray with him and talk to him and receive. So that I just wanted to give a picture for our sisters that are not Catholic to understand when we say that word, what it means. So you're going to adoration now. Pretty regularly, correct, for 3 months. Mm-hmm. You're sitting just with the Lord.
And I just get this strong feeling, go ask about RCIA. And I don't know if I knew the initials at that point. But so I go and I ask. And she goes, oh my goodness, it's summertime. We're taking anybody at any time. Whenever you're ready to start, you can start. And I was not expecting that. Because I thought that I had like about maybe a month or two.
And these are classes that you take learning about the Catholic faith.
Correct. They're once a week. And it just walks you slowly through. And it's really light and it's about an hour and a half. And we have, I think, about 50 people in our class. Mm-hmm. Some of them have already done it at Christmas time. They did their final thing. And so we're now down to about 35. But just learning more. Mm-hmm. And the more that I started going, I wanted to know more. And so I'm looking on my own and finding out things. And it's just making my heart grow. My desire for knowing him and seeking God more. And
when you were taking the classes, was there any one class that really piqued your interest or said, oh, this feels like a warm blanket, or Lord, thank you? Or was there even, we'll talk about the classes that maybe you were a little bit confused with too, but for our listeners.
I find more questions are coming, things that I didn't know that I needed to ask.
Right, because you don't know what you don't know.
So. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yes. Same for all of us. Yeah.
So very eye-opening. So I'm trying to think if there was any.
Well, when the Lord was inspiring you to go to talk to Leanne, who's in charge of our RCIA program, and you were, you know, walking down that corridor and you went and spoke with her, I'm sure there was some trepidation in your heart.
Oh, most definitely. I was shaking. I was like, I don't want to do this. Why am I going? Okay, I'll go. And, you know, I just felt like I was very led. And she was very helpful and got me right in. And it was like I had to just wait, like, I think 4 days.
Wow. So,
okay, not too long.
No, and then the summer they meet every other week. And you make what you can. Mm-hmm. And if you miss, they have videos mm-hmm. that you can do on your own. You can rewatch them, which is really nice if you haven't quite gotten everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think that receptivity is such an important part of the walk with Christ, whether you're a catechumen, whether you're a candidate, whether you're already in full communion with the church, having that posture of receiving from the Lord, mm-hmm. knowing and trusting, because that has to be a prerequisite, right, for being receptive, is you have to believe that there is something that's going to be given to you. So to have that receptivity and say, okay, Lord, I'm open, I'm trusting, and I'm trusting that you're going to give, but I'm also trusting that you're going to give in a gentle way. You know, like you said, just one little step,
yeah,
one little bit. Even rewatching the videos, I think, is wonderful, because sometimes in that moment, at least in my experience, I might hear something and resist mm-hmm. for a minute or two. And then by the time I've sort of calmed and returned to that receptivity, a couple things have already been said, you know? Mm-hmm. So being able to rewatch a video is a good way to then go back and say, okay, well, now I can hear the rest of those things with open ears mm-hmm. and see what I might have missed if, you know, if I didn't have a video to watch.
Mm-hmm. You know what I thought was interesting, Joni, when you mentioned that you walked the El Camino and you walked for an intention of, Lord, do you want me to be Catholic? Mm-hmm. And you felt after those 600 miles, because that's how long it took, how many miles you went, you felt the answer was no. My grandson was just baptized this weekend, and my dad used a shell that was given to him from the El Camino. And it had the emblem of St. James on it. Mm-hmm. And the shell had these veins that went down to the center point. And the beautiful story behind the shell is that there's many different paths to Jesus.
Yes.
And when you said no, I think the Lord was saying, no, not yet.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because I was kind of taken aback, and I'm like, because what really drew me to become Catholic was the Eucharist when I found out about it.
Can I ask you how you found out about it?
We only have 1 minute, Jean.
Already?
Before our break there, I have to jump in because there is no way that anybody can answer that question in 1 minute.
It goes so fast. I mean, we're just getting going, and here's like, whoa, you know? Okay.
Yes.
Well, we'll come back and talk about, because I want to hear your journey. I think a lot of women are interested in your journey. We've been born and raised Catholic, but it's neat to hear how God calls somebody that practices a different faith to receive him in the Holy Eucharist. So, yeah. Gonna be good.
All right, so please join us again with Joni after the break and hear more of her story. How did she discover the Lord in the Eucharist?
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
Hello, ladies, and welcome back to our episode of Joyful Echo, where we have with us our guest, Joni, our friend and guest, Joni. And Joni is sharing a little bit about her journey into the Catholic Church. And I say a little bit because you saw how quickly these minutes went by. If you were with us for the first part of the show, so quickly, there's no way we can capture everything about your journey, Joni. It's so wonderful. And at the same time, I think that's the case for us too, right?
Yes. Like,
I would imagine that if we had you back as a guest next year at this time, some of the things that you talk about now would take on a very different color because you will have experienced other things that will shed light back into your story. At least that has been my experience in my life. Things that I thought, well, this is what's going on right now, or this is what was happening. I get a little further in my life and I look back and say, oh no, there were other things happening there too. But what we were coming back to after the break was how you first encountered this treasure of our faith that Jesus has determined, willed, the Father's will, that he would remain with his church through his Eucharistic presence, that his body, his blood, his soul, and his divinity would be present as he said it would be in Scripture. How did you first encounter that?
I had a dear friend who has passed, and she told me about the Eucharist. I had gone to one of Mary's Women of Joy's retreat, and we had the monstra, is that what
monstrance?
It's monstrance. Come, and I noticed that all the women were, like, so excited, and were down on the ground waiting and anticipating, and so I leaned over and I said, what's going on? This is really strange. And she said, well, they're waiting for Jesus. I'm like, what do you mean? She said, well, that's what's in the monster is the host. And it's the actually Jesus, blood and body of Jesus. And she said, well, what would you do if Jesus walked through the door?
Right, in a way that you could recognize
that I would
physical
see,
body.
Yes. And how would you react? And I just was like, whoa. And so she gave more on that. Mm-hmm. And then I would attend Mass, and I would hear this. And once I realized I couldn't take communion in my church, it didn't mean anything. And I wanted what was given at that first supper with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then it's been passed down, and he said, it is my blood and mm-hmm. body. And he was pretty graphic about it. And I want that. I want that. I remember hearing a friend of mine, she was going through an annulment and couldn't take communion. And she mm-hmm. said, I just thirst mm-hmm. for it. And when I walked the Camino, I asked if I could take it from this woman. And she said, well, let's go talk to the Father. And it was no, that I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And that was hard going into all of the masses, mm-hmm. seeing everybody else go up and take it, which I knew that they weren't Catholic, but I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And so I now am thirsting for it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that was a grace, Joni. I know it may seem for some of our listeners like, well, that's harsh. That's so unwelcoming. But it's a grace.
Yeah.
I mean, St. Paul in his letter to the Corinthians, yes. he speaks about an unworthy reception mm-hmm. of the Lord's body. Mm-hmm. Really, more, not that sacrilege is not enough, but in addition to being a sacrilege, that person is really bringing condemnation onto himself or herself.
And that is in Scripture.
Right.
Yes. That is in Scripture.
To receive his body unworthily. Mm-hmm. So even though at the time it might have felt like, well, why am I being deprived and these other people are not? But what they were doing was not helping them. Mm-hmm.
No, I felt really blessed to have known.
Yes.
Now, needless to say, my friend said that she was in Mass, and she said that she felt like the Lord had said to her that she was to share the Eucharist with me. Well, I ended up going in Burgos and somehow ended up in Mass. And that when the Eucharist happens, everybody gets kind of pushed out and moved, and they don't know what the hands over your chest means. Mm. And so I was like pushed up there, and I received, and I called her immediately, and I was like, am I going to be okay? And she said, the Lord said that I was to share the Eucharist with you, and it was so wonderful receiving that. Mm. I felt good about it. I never did it again, and but it gave me a taste of what it could be. So I don't know if that was wrong.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
I love these girls. They're so incredibly honest.
Oh, ladies.
No, it was. It was wrong. And I don't mean it to be. I mean, it just was wrong.
Her intention may not have been.
Right.
Right. Her intention, it sounds like, was loving. But How often we, with a loving intention, mistake, you know, what is...
That's why we have the church to help us, because our loving intentions as women...
Yes. Will can get us in trouble.
Can get us in trouble, and that's the beauty, and that's... but the Lord...
I love this, Jean. I'm sorry, ladies. I just... If you can... So we have video. We videotape mm-hmm. the show along with the audio recording, and it's on YouTube, and you can go to the Carolina Catholic YouTube channel and see it. But as we're talking about this, I looked at Jean, and my eyes were probably...
As big as quarters.
Four times their size. Like, oh, sweet Jesus, what are we going to do here?
Yeah, because we don't edit our shows.
We don't. But I'm so thankful that, first of all, I'm so thankful, Joni, that you said, I don't know if that's right. And I'm so thankful, Jean, that you were ready to say, you know, regardless of what somebody might think about it, no, it wasn't right. You know, but so many lessons in that, right? I mean, we could do a whole show on all the lessons that are a part of that. But one of them, I think, right away is that when we just jump off of feelings, like how I feel is what constitutes what is true. Mm-hmm. If I feel it strongly enough, then it's true. And discernment
is key.
Is so important.
Is absolutely key.
And so this friend who obviously did, I think, have a loving intention.
Yes.
But the discernment was off there. And we can all,
yeah,
you know, fall into that trap in one way or another. And some of you listening might have been in that position.
Okay, so a rule of discernment, because I love discernment. This is
yes,
my thing.
Yes, she does.
Love discernment. When the church is so good because she gives us rules. And St. Ignatius of Loyola has beautiful rules for discernment. But a lot of times we get caught in our feelings. And this is like you just said, mm-hmm. I feel this, I feel that. Well, what you do is you first go see a spiritual director or a friend who knows, who is trusted spiritually, and you ask them, because we delude ourselves really easily. We can be in delusion. So when you ask, they will be able to share with you, no, this is the church teaching. So that was just a feeling, but you would always go under the obedience of what the church teaches.
Right. It has to be tested.
It has to be tested.
So when you look at all the saints mm-hmm. who took spiritual direction mm-hmm. from someone else, and that person was a saint.
Mm-hmm.
So when we sort of take it on our own to say, like, I know the church says it's not okay, but I'm having this feeling that it's okay. I feel like the Lord is telling me that you can do this. Like,
yeah,
that's a sign.
That's
like,
a sign.
Okay, hang on.
And I do want to speak to this, because a lot of people say, well, I have such peace about it always.
Oh, honey.
When you're going to make a life-changing decision, and that was a life-changing decision for you, to mm-hmm. receive the Eucharist was a life-changing decision. Mm-hmm. That was not your norm. The rule of discernment is you don't change anything in your life until you seek out spiritual direction, a wise, trusted friend to help guide you, so you make sure that it is on the right path.
You've got to test that feeling.
But this is, God is so good, because this story, we pray to the Holy Spirit. Someone out there needs to hear about how to discern well, that mm-hmm. just because a feeling of peace has come over you or you have a feeling of joy, I'm telling you, if it has to do with life-changing decisions, you need to talk to your priest, or if you're not Catholic, talk to your pastor or a wise, trusted friend, because feelings delude us, they confuse us, they can lead us down a wrong path.
Mm-hmm, And if your feeling is pointing you in a direction that is contrary to the consistent teachings of the church,
oh, you're way off.
That you can feel all day long, but you gotta test that out. All right, this is our time, Joni, that we take at the end of the show for prayer, and mm-hmm. I think how poignant right now, because we're talking about discernment,
mm-hmm.
right? This time of prayer, this experience of prayer that we enter into together with our listeners, in part, is about saying, I'm not God. Mm. My feelings, my will, my decisions do not constitute reality and truth.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, God is the only I am who am.
Mm-hmm. I love this. I love how he rules our show, girls. I love
it. He really does. I did not see us going here, but here we are. All right, let's sanctify our time together. And Gene, I already see you have the Bible open, so you've got, I'm guessing, a verse or a something ready for us.
Oh, yes.
So let's sanctify our time. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we come before you, and we just thank you for the love that you have, that you want to share with all your girls, all your beautiful daughters listening, of staying in protected truth, of not... of hearing Joni's story and how she is drawn to the Holy Eucharist, but there is such reverence for the Eucharist, and there's proper order. Lord, you are a God of order, and we praise you for your order, because order is protection. And Lord, we just thank you that we can rest in knowing that protection is in your beautiful church. We thank you for your Son who comes to us at every Mass, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we kneel before him, and we receive him, and we are filled with life. And Lord, you love your son so much and you love your children so much that there is a beautiful order to reception of you in the Holy Eucharist. And we just pray with Psalm 51 about showing us the way, And the scripture is, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and uphold within me a willing spirit. Father, we ask for that grace right now for every woman, that she will have a willing spirit, even when we are feeling led a different way. I praise you and thank you for Joni's story about her journey literally on a path in the El Camino, asking for your revelation, and you led her with your hand in a beautiful, ordered way. I pray that for every woman listening, that she will receive order in her life from our Lord today, recognizing his safety and his concern and his care for each one of us, that he loves us.
Yes, and I pray, Lord, for the virtue of docility, that we will all cultivate a greater degree of docility. Docility to your holy will, docility to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, docility to the bride of Christ, his church. A docile spirit, Lord, is what I'm praying for myself, for our listeners, for Jean and for Joni. Increase our docility, Lord. Help us to practice it during this season of Lent especially. And we make this prayer, as always, in the name of the Father and the Son
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, ladies, we're going to talk more with Joni in our next show about her journey with the Holy Eucharist and what she's learned by sitting in adoration and what the Lord has shown her, because we do want to end on a really high note.
I feel like this was a high note.
It is a high note. But Jean comes in with quick correction.
There is nothing wrong with that.
No. It's all out of charity and goodness. Praise you, Jesus.
Yes.
All right, ladies, listen, you guys have a great week. We're still in Lent.
We are hanging in there.
I felt like I was a cat the other day hanging by my claws.
Oh, the old poster. Yes.
But we're hanging.
Yes.
All right, ladies.
Tune in next Wednesday for a new episode of Joyful Echo.